novels. Go and sit down. I was able to start reading Christian books. And every other thing got better. Bible study, everything. So let me give you advice. You can try it out. You can tell yourself, okay, 3 months, novels, sit down, 6 months. You can do 3 months. And some of you, even Christian novels, some of you are carrying Kingsbury's. Don't be taking start to feed your romance addiction. Not evil romance, but all this. Don't feed it. Stop feeding it to mess with your life. How many of you, Karen Kingsbury? Does it make you think marriage thoughts? Stop thinking marriage thoughts. To mess with your life. Life is not a marriage. Life is a battle. You want to read a novel? Read from Peretti's This Present Darkness. Who has read it? Want to read a novel? Read Piercing the Darkness. It's just because you guys, some of you, if you're a church member and you're not in school right now, or in between, you're reading something. See that big book sitting here? That's those two books sitting down there. You guys have mine. That book has sat there. I admire you guys. Me, I would have had no peace till I... Now, you could borrow it if you're a member and read. Make sure you return it or we'll sell you and buy another one. You could talk to the librarian. Or you want to read something. It's not exactly a novel, but it's like really... But from Peretti, generally, it's different novels, The Visitation, Prophet, all that. Some are better than some. Some are scary. I don't know. Tedeka's horror stuff, I do not like. But the second series is white, red, and green, black. Green came later. Black, red, and white. It's a novel. It's exciting. But when you stand up from it, something. Read C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. Read. Wow. So there's somebody here. Wow. Okay, fine. So this is good. This is good for you. This is for you. Stop saying, hey, but I'll be so bored. You can't be bored. You just don't know where to. You see, you haven't kept good company. If you've hung out with good company, they will tell you. There's very interesting stuff, good. But also, take your eyes off, especially sisters, take your head and mind off too much pictures of Jack and Jill, you know, running in the field. You have to be real. If you think too much of, you know, again, you get the picture. Ja. Jill. I'm not saying it's a sin. After all, the Bible is a romance story about the Lord coming for a bride, looking for the one who'll be his princess by his side. That is like eating honey every time. No, you must eat bitter leaf soup. You must eat bitter leaf soup. You'll be sick, oh. You must eat bitter leaf soup. Not just bitter leaf soup. You must be real. Okay, nobody is trying to make life tough for you. Do you really want to be hurt too bad? That's like waking up and saying, please, nobody has to go to school at all. Me, what's school for? I'll just throw. Just, see, do you know if you beg people for things on the road, they can give you? I begged for help before on the road and they got it. Free ride, free something. somewhere. But you see, those are exceptions. You can't live on that. They will make you a slave. Some bad thing, very terrible things will happen to you. So you can't live on. So if those novels I mentioned, they are novels, very enjoyable, like watching a movie. However, for those now, there are people that are allergic to stuff, and we understand God created people differently. All those people who like maths, they are there. Because of algebra, they look at it, they are happy. I'll solve you today. Some of you are like doubting that there's nobody like that. They are, oh yeah, watch. I don't mean to pretend. I'm not asking if you pass. I mean you used to enjoy it. You looked forward to being given to walk. See, I told you. They are monsters. Now, all of us, how many of you know that there's nothing normal about, how many of you are myself? Like, how? Is it only you that is... We know, me and the ones who raise that, we know how. Who? They are happy, they sit down, they sharpen the pencil and sit down with joy to be miserable. All right, so God made us all, okay? So there's this group, then there's that group. Now tell them, read a novel, they are like... Some have never read one novel, not one. If the most they did was look at the cover page. That's a passing glance because the guy likes computer designs. You look at the graphics. How you know? They collect the book. They look at the cover. They never turn the back. They have no interest in the back. This, I'm telling you how to identify them. Let's pretend they are not here. What's when they... That novel was here. Everybody on earth knows that normal people pick up nice looking books and look at it. Yes?
Yes.
These people can stand here and talk for half. They won't touch that book. That's the first sign. Second sign, if they touch it, they... Again, we know that first, you go like this at the blob to... These people never... These are the signs. So these people do not have this problem we are talking about. I'm talking about the problem of those who love to live in Fantasy Island and all that. Do not spend your time looking for happy. Life is not only happy. Life is war. There's blood, there's gore. There's violence and there's war. There's trouble and there's disaster in real life. So read novels that involve that too. You know, where the happy, good character dies, to someone dies, bad stuff happens. It's more realistic. And also the consequences, you know, Chronicles of Narnia, I like how, you know, that in spite of, you know, Aslan and the one representing Lord Jesus, all that, they were still... disasters. You can't say it was all... Now, I know the story of God is ends happy, to end happy, but on the journey there will be trouble. I could shoot 50 verses of the Bible at you in rapid succession, but it's not every time. I'm giving you one or two. One. I could give you a lot more. Maybe if you ask questions. I'm going to allow people to ask questions soon, but I just want to announce to you that we were made for war. There's trouble brewing. That line ahead, ready or not, here I come, means, again, whether it's the Lord, I told you the Lord is a man of war. When God shows up, bad things happen to some, good things happen to some. And that was the word I shared a month or so ago. If the Lord shows himself, raises his hand, appears, Pharaoh's army gets drowned. It wasn't three people that drowned in that day. A lot of families lost their fathers. Mothers lost their sons. Wives lost their husbands. Because the Lord showed up. Showed up as a pillar. Like that. And demarcated between the Egyptians and his people. Don't come nearer. Then he opened the water. The Bible tells you he deliberately did it. The Lord, the man of war. But those that get so afraid and so angry, why? If God really wanted to save us, would he do this? Would he do this? Yes, he would. He deliberately does things, all sorts of things. Exodus 14, look at verse 1. This is God, though. This is God. Then the Lord said to Moses, sorry, let me, chapter 13, verse 18. I'm giving you context. But let me show you God's kindness to 17 and 18. 17 and 18. See his kindness. Watch the Lord, man of war. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road through the land of the Philistines, though it was shorter. Why? For God said, if the people face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. For those who don't understand, this is it. The people of God were in Egypt, in bondage. God said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. God beat him. Let my people go. Said, no. He beat him again. Let my people go. Three. But he just kept flogging. Now, number 10. Let my people go. He now flog all their firstborn. Flogged everywhere. But this is the basic story. With that massive flogging, so much crying, Pharaoh said, go, go. They left up. As they went, God said, the promised land I want to take them to is just like this. It's about 11 days journey. Estimate. Is this. However, to pass through it, these people are called Philistines. They like war. Troublemakers. You read about them later, in time of Saul, all that. Persistent wahala. The Philistines, all the time of the judges. Trouble. These are the Philistines. These are the Israelites. God said, if I lead them through here, what will they face?
War.
And if they see war, they may
change their minds
and come
return
back,
to Egypt.
And come back and say, hey, Pharaoh, it's not like that. Don't worry, we'll stay. We'll stay. We walk. What do you say you should do again? You should clear this place. Oh, yeah. So God said, I don't want any such nonsense to happen. Therefore, I will not lead you through the war path. I'm going to lead you through the wilderness path. Next verse. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. Now, take note, the promised land is that way. We have just gone like this. But he led them in this longer route, this other way, the way of the wilderness. It says around. Them around. Avoid the Philistines. Take this way. Don't enter their land or they will bring war. It's not that I couldn't win if they come for war, but fear, which is the number one reason for defeat. Not the strength of the enemy. Fear. Number one reason for all defeat, Christians, is fear. Christians are the strongest. Christians with the Holy Ghost, with God, are the strongest beings that exist. One tiny Christian like this in God's will. One small one like this, 11 years old. Is a greater problem to darkness than you can believe. They are almost on, how do I explain it? I don't want you to miss it because preachers have carried this to an extreme and that's why many Christians are defeated. I don't want to say you're untouchable. In a sense, you're untouchable till you give permission. So Christians are like untouchables. Satan can't touch you. So what he does is that he makes you have like a shield. He makes you remove your shield, switch off your shield. Then now he can hit you. He can't just hit you. You are one of the untouchables. You're one of them. That wizard man, Don Ramirez, said sometimes he will astral project, that is, leave his body, go out his soul, travel, go to attack a place. He used to use his mouth. He would be cursing the place. But that there are some places he wants to enter a street and he can't. There's this barrier, a force field. And he's like, what is this? Then he got to here. He said that there's this other power. He called them like the children of the light or something. He's like, who are they? They're the Christians. Again, these are not churchgoers. Many people don't want Satan to touch them, but they do nothing to stop him from touching them. In fact, they welcome him. Come, come. You don't have armor. You don't have a shield. Have nothing. Why will he not touch you? This is war. We are not playing here. How does he touch you? He even goes to touch Jesus. So who are you? He always makes you make him able to touch you. Just turn this stone to bread. He tells you to do something illegal. He tells you to do something you shouldn't do. That's how. If you're wondering how he's able, how you go from being untouchable to fully touchable, where he's slapping your two cheeks at once. Bah, bah, bah. Some every day. You call it a headache. Bah, bah, bah. Some, if you see the small thing that is giving you that headache, there's headache. Then there's demonic oppression. Bang, 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 bang. Say, my head feels as if it will scatter. That's its plan. If you knew, just go, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of oppression, I rebuke you. It will just stop. But you don't know. You didn't even know there was a demon. No, someone has told you, a child of God, it can never happen. Enjoy. Enjoy your suffering. Yeah. It can absolutely happen. It's happening everywhere. Christians are suicidal are everywhere. Christians are doing everything everywhere. There's nothing unbelievers do. Christians are not doing. So what are you talking about? Christians are getting drunk. This night, today. Many Christians, very many, I mean born again with the Holy Spirit, will drink and get drunk. Some will gamble away their money. They will the money God gave them last week, 100,000, it will disappear. They will carry their phone like they do, bing, 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 till it finishes. Then they will rest. That is God who has money. God gave this, my money is too small. God gave them, let's pretend this 1,000 there or 1,000. They will sit down like this. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for this money. Oh, I'm so grateful. I will keep it and use it for your glory. This will meet needs, and in case I need to support someone, it will help. Thank you, Lord. They are going to sit down and go, which random individual out there, someone I don't know at all, that is also gambling somewhere at the ends of the earth, maybe in Argentina, can I dash this money to? To have all this money, only me, it's not fair. Some will keep doing it. So it's empty. Then they'll go, oh God, I'm poor. You're telling me that is normal? What's normal about that? How does any of that make sense? I wish I had more of that money. Then they'll sit down, be wretched. They'll say, excuse me, what, do you have 50 naira? Now they'll do it today, then they'll do it next week. They'll do it next month when they get money again. Then they'll do it the upper month. Then they'll do it the upper month. Then they'll keep doing it. So that's a free person. No, that's a person that is tied like this. If you see them in the spirit and they are tied like this, then when the demon yanks the chain, this is exactly how they are in the spirit. Because nothing, they themselves don't agree with anything they do. So why do they do it? Because when you are yanked and you are tied, you can't control what you do. In a sense, when they say it's not my fault, they are telling the truth. Apart from the stupidity quotient, it's not their fault. Now, let me tell you where you're foolish. Where you're foolish is where they say, come, let's remove those chains from you. Let's separate you from this thing that yanks you around. Say, don't worry, I'll come next week. Okay, so you want to suffer some more, then you come next week. Okay. Some will say, one of these days I'll come. To do what? To save me? You come to save me. Enjoy your suffering. There are people that have been in bondage far more than you. Deeper bondage. Tied more than you. Some are tied so bad. Some of you, one of your hands is free. Some, your hand and legs are free. It's only one hand that is tied. There are people that have been bound 100 times more than you that are free because they turn to Jesus. But you know something, or should I say you don't know anything. You don't know anything. Or you wouldn't allow it to happen. Remember, Jesus wants every Christian. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. And nobody is stronger than Jesus. Remember, he's a man of war. He doesn't mind fight. In fact, I found out he likes fight. Let me tell you one of the reasons I fear God. He likes fight. You don't know if you knew. When you will know. Don't worry, you know. God doesn't like too much peace. Don't be sitting down here, peace, 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 peace. Nothing happened, no entertainment. Set up, have you seen Job? Oh, you don't know the story. You think Satan has raised the topic? God raised it. It's God that raised it. Have you seen Job? There's no one like him. Oh. This is where we say, pause and pray. God, please don't talk about me. Please don't talk about us. Leave us now. We are living our life. Let's just be righteous quietly. Not something that God will now be recommending you. It's those recommendations that make demons go, what is she feeling like? So are you saying that I can't get her to fool a man now? Give me 3 months. And God goes, never, never, never. Don't come near, never. Is that what the Bible says? Then why do you think of God? Gentle Jesus, make a man. I think God most time goes, okay, try now. It's because she has so much money. If she was lacking small, that test will work. Off the tap. There's no more money. She's going to depend now on God. A daily manner. So I've removed the money argument. Do your worst. And the sister that used to say, nobody, nobody. I just want to testify. You know, I always don't understand how people can even say they are tempted. Suddenly, there's an openness. There's an openness to all your life when you're walking, flat heel or heel. It doesn't matter. You've never been known to turn. But suddenly you're like, what? Because in your mind, one small demon is flying around. See, you don't know. You remember this morning, you say, God, however you do it, do something. However you do it, do something. You said that. Could this be it? Could this be it? God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Well, let me not be too close-minded. Pastor even said that. And he said we should be polite and smile when they ask us and tell our names even before they ask. He said we should be bold. All those things you're saying, I said when you want to go and preach to someone, but you forget the context now. You have started changing it. I said you should do what? Smile around with men that park their car and call you. Me. I said, when you go for evangelism and someone is before you, I said, hello, even if not check, they will want to check you. They say, hello, my name is Amelia. What's yours? Okay. You like to talk with me? So he doesn't feel he's chasing something. So be unchaseable. Chase him. Yeah, I just want to say I love God. Thank you. Thank you. I thank God. Thank Jesus. He made me lovely. No, but how are you? You don't look so healthy. No. I don't mean it like that. Externally, you look okay, but spiritually, could we sit? Spiritually, you don't look very well. Why would you say that? I'm a very sure, well, if you're a very serious Christian, first, you wouldn't be calling me on the street, you know. I don't know you. No, and you say it with your eyes open, you're not owing him any money. And you tell him. Now, I told you that you should not hide away from speaking the truth and being bold about standing for worship and preach the gospel to them. Tell them, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm sorry, I have a class in about 10 minutes, but if you want to be in the area where I am again, we meet here. You could come by there by 5 p.m. on this day, okay? All right then, bye-bye. My number, when you come, make sure you come. Remember, your health is important. So you use it for the glory of God. But by the time, you know, you're using it, say, well, hello. Good afternoon, sir. Oh, such a nice girl. See, Satan is coming. Now the demons are like... When you know demons are doing like this over you, you better learn to see that demons are 10,000 there. When you know they are betting over your life, you won't be doing nonsense. You know, many Christians, again, you don't know it's war. I'm even using the nice picture of gambling. Many times it's not that, it's arrows. We see the arrows they are putting in you. Greed. Lost, all sorts of things. There's this one, some of you have met it. Where was God when? Once you have that one here, they've hit the jugular. You bleed out. If you see that it's weapons in the spirit, you won't be saying, I was feeling, you weren't feeling anything, you were attacked. You know, it's only Christians that say they feel attacks. Normal people, pow, kai, they shot me. Christians, pow. You know the way I've been feeling? Only Christians feel warfare. If you know it is war, you wouldn't feel. But Christians don't know the which war? War? Who? Me, I don't have any enemies. So you have a billion enemies. You ignoramus. Very many things hate you. You are the only thing made in God's image. Now, you, on this earth, they don't like you. There are other things that would like your place. They are around. You can't see them. They can see you perfectly well. You call them demons, call them whatever. They are under a master. There's a whole structure. They detest you. And they want to ensure you can't sit in the place they wanted to be. So they spend their life harassing you to stop you. The first thing they do is, make sure you don't know Jesus. For what now? Who told you Jesus is the way? It's white man's religion. All sorts of foolishness. And you say, well, come to think about it. You see, to be honest, there's no thinking. If you were thinking at all, you wouldn't think about it. Because if you think about it, it comes out that Jesus is Lord. In all ways. I told you one of the easiest ways to know Jesus is Lord. What is the final power? When there's power displayed, which one is... When you call the name, something happens, final. Which one overrides all other power? If you have seen demons in this place and all that, you know that Jesus' name is the most powerful name there is. That's enough evidence that Jesus is Lord. That's enough evidence. That in the face of the most powerful person or being or spirit, that the one that you can say, in the name of Jesus, I command you. And they are weaker. they are less powerful. I take authority. Satan can do things. He has some power. But the comparative power of Jesus to Satan is, there's none. But how come there are times people try to fight back? Because either you don't have the authority, really, you don't know how to wield it, you're ignorant of something, or Satan has been given permission. So picture Job saying, Satan, I command you to return my cows that you burnt with fire. Nothing would have happened yet because there was a time. Job's solution was to be before his master, talking to his God. The more peacefully, the better. The less violent, the better. Acquaint yourself and be at peace with him. The longer he would have been in his face. At the end of that, but even in his shortcomings, the Lord went, you see, he didn't curse me, Job, my man. He didn't explain anything to Job. He just told him, do you know why the ostrich has a small brain? Go and read the book of Job. You know where wisdom is. You know where eagles are. Do you know how this bird flies? Do you know this animal in the sea? Do you know? Job, what do you know? Job, you don't know anything. Keep quiet. When big people are talking, keep quiet. That's the summary. Job, mechon. Then to Satan, he said, you see? Told ya. I heard Job, come, Job. What do you want? Everything now, double, double. The end. That's the book of Job. You haven't read it. I just summarized it for you. He started with a discussion that was higher than his level. And the Lord gave us an example of what can be the opposition we can face and how we can resolve it. I am saying that we are at war. The battle takes lives, physically too. It's not a small battle. It's not a joke. The passage we are reading, let's finish. They were taken around. God said, if they see war, they will be afraid because they were cowardly. They didn't know war. They had been slaves. This is what happens to many. When you've been a slave of the enemy, you see him as very strong. And you see any enemy as very strong. This is the great sorrow of God. Watch and learn. When you have been enslaved to different passions, sins, bondage, to different things, I'm saying, one relationship to another, one bondage to another, one addiction to another. Now you're addicted to this. And then you are addicted to another thing. Oh, you came off cocaine. Now it's cigarettes. And that's a lesser evil. I agree. But no more cigarettes. Now you're addicted to gambling. Then after that, you're trying to stop. So now you're addicted to sitting out. No, I don't drink again. It's coffee. Every evening. And you're like, I don't understand. How do you even afford it? You can't afford this. You're too poor. This is a cappuccino. You heard the name, cappuccino. What does it mean? It's a kind of, you're a connoisseur now of coffees, Italian names. Can you afford it? Well, by the grace of God. Which grace? How much offering have you given in the last month? How much have you spent on coffee? That's all I need to know. So you've entered another bondage. One bondage. Oh, you overcame that one. Now you're an addict of YouTube. Super addicted. Inseparable. YouTube, data. You're a data gobbler. The way you use data, you would think you and MTN were born on the same day, around the same time, your siblings. There's MTN, then you. MTN gives customers, collects money, you. You give it to YouTube. Because you use it, you're not rich enough to use that much data. You can't even afford to use that much data. In fact, your plan should be WhatsApp. WhatsApp plan, 300 naira a week or a month. Mm-hmm. But you are, what's that? You call it all those big English words, an addictive personality. Mm-mm. Demonic spirits, I'm not saying they own you, I'm saying they are firing at you. Fia, 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 fia. Look now, touch now, open now, look. Did I say pornography? No, I said YouTube. What are you looking at? Nothing. Nothing. I just like thing after thing after thing after thing. After, and it goes on permanently and is your life. This is not once in a while. Some of us look at trivia once in a while. But it's non-stop. It's non-stop. You know you can't afford it, but you, how are you able to afford this? You finish 1,000 naira of data in one day. You can't afford it. You're looking for food to eat. That's what I mean by one addiction to another. So if you're free from this one, the enemy comes and says, well, Sha is a sin, Sha. That one was a sin. Just do this one. It's not a sin. You have to know the tricks of Satan. Satan is very tricky. Satan is a trickster. If you don't know it, Diablo, the deceiver, you will still be under his influence while thinking you're free. All right. What does verse 18 say? So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Everyone read with me.
And the Israelites left the land of Egypt arrayed for battle.
BBE, for the person who doesn't know what arrayed for battle means. The children of Israel went up in fighting order
out of the land of Egypt.
How were they arranged?
In fighting order.
They were arranged like people that are going to
battle.
To battle. But what did God say? He said, I'm not going to lead them through the path where they will see
war.
Battle.
Mm.
So I'm taking them around the wilderness. But why are they equipped for war? Who wants to guess? Because whether you like it or not, you fight.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you didn't hear me. You're still equipped for the battle, even though he's not leading you to full battle. Even your non-fighting state is a battle. Oh, you're not saying. Even when God says, no, protect her from battle, there will be war. Okay, now, next verse. Next verse is chapter 14. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp before Pi-Hahirot, between Migdol and the sea. You are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal-Zephon. For Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, they are wandering the land in confusion. The wilderness has boxed them in. Who is talking?
God.
Who is talking? The Lord is saying what Pharaoh will say.
Yes.
So, are you seeing a plan?
Yes, sir.
Who is making this plan?
God.
God is planning and setting up Pharaoh. Ah, poor Pharaoh, Mumu Pharaoh. You saw God bring them out after everything he did. Then he thought he brought them out, then abandoned them just between here and here.
Mm.
No, you didn't think it well. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Who is responsible for the pursuing?
God.
Don't play with God. All of you that think you can be on the opposite side of God, you have lost already. God is the worst chess master you could encounter. He will trounce you so thoroughly. He said he will harden Pharaoh's heart. Give me that hardness injection. Inject him again. And then tell him, how can you let them go? But I will gain honor by means of Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So this is what the Israelites did. So God, now go and read the rest of the story if you want to know what happened. God led them there. The Israelites, as usual, oblivious to anything, started crying. Moses, oh, he said that there was no grave, no land, no cemetery in Egypt. That you brought us here for us to be in a place where we will not be buried, where birds will be eating our bones. What kind of... See, darling, this is why I say we can't just follow anybody. Trouble, 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 trouble. Moses now say, God, after God had briefed him, you know, there's God telling you a big plan. Then there's the specific details that you're like, God, you didn't say this side. Moses was in that place. And God said, why are you crying out to me? Damn. Lift your hand. He lifted his hand, did intercession, night prayers. At night. The Bible says all night the breath of God moved and the land became dry. Okay, for those who watch Prince of Egypt or any other thing, and the water did. It's a lie. That's not what happened. The Bible says all night the wind was blowing. was gradual. There was no I apologize on behalf of Disney. Pixar. That didn't happen. Gradual. When it parted, God said, cross. And then, when the time came, that's in verse 21. When the time came, Pharaoh ran in, mumushosly, because he had seen water standing on both sides before. God sent a cloud and blocked him. So let me explain why God dresses you for battle, even when he's not leading you into a real battle. I'm trying to let you know, child of God, that there's real battle in Christianity, the direct one, where God says, I've heard stories, I've had experiences, I've heard people. Years ago, when I was much younger, I used to wonder, where is their God? To be a child as a Christian, to be childish. I used to hear some older Christians talk about encounters, clashes with workers of darkness, Satanists, and how they will leave there and go and fight and go and pray, go and start. And I used to think, no, now, as a child of God, you should just sleep. Child of God, I don't think like that again. I've grown up small. It's not all that is like that. That's when there's peace. It's this time. Now, what should the Israelites have done? Have rest. God brought you here. It's God that boxed them there. Then he told the leader, this is how. And as long as their job at that time was just follow the leader. That's the only game they were to play. Follow the leader. There's a time in your life that's like that. Just follow what you're told. Then there's a time God tells you, now you're not going to follow. You're the one leading. Okay, so everything you have to say, God, what next? God, where were you? We missed you. What next? Because if he doesn't speak, not just we are finished, everybody is finished. There's a time like that as you grow in responsibility, physically, spiritually, over people, family, anything. You're going to have to know the way of war. What do I do now? Father, what do I do? What do I say? How do I respond to this? Should I respond at all? Father, 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 Father. You don't just lie down and sleep. There's a time for everything. So if you teach people that it's always a cruise, it's a lie. I'm saying I used to think like this. I used to think, where's their victory in Christ? Even in when you're not being led to war, there will be violence. At some point, he stood, he endured, he had to stretch out his hand, had to pray. Remember when Joshua was fighting later on chapter 16 up, he had to lift his hands. As long as his hands were up, they were winning. If he dropped his hands, they lost. That was God teaching you that you do have a responsibility. The Lord Jesus prayed and got till angels came and strengthened him before he could face the rest, a crucifixion. If not, he may have talked himself out of the crucifixion. He may have called, Lord, send your angels. And a legion, 12 legions of angels would have appeared and we would be lost in our sins. But he received strength. There's a time to stand in the face of the Lord, in prayer, in the word of God, in trusting, looking at what God says, in going to battle with others. There's a place and a time for everything. I hope you understand this. If we will know these things. Now, did God win? Yes. Why? Because Moses did what God said. Was it scary? Yes. There are scary and hairy moments in your walk with God. There are times you wonder, is this going to end in deep sorrow? And sometimes God says, well, it depends on who is with you. Yes, this situation won't be resolved the way you want it exactly, but it's part of my plan. And you can say, okay, God, like the crucifixion, let your will be done, not mine. And then there are situations where it is, well, it depends. Will you fight? Like God, but you can do it all. Say, well, I always liked walking, even in a perfect world. I used to come and walk with Adam. I didn't come and name the animals for Adam. Adam, come here. Have you heard? This one is lion. This one is elephant. Say after me, lion. That's not what happened. What happened is that God said, Adam, go ahead, name it. So what will you call this one? That's what God did. God loves. Yesterday, today I prayed about someone, they invited me to come preach somewhere, and I said, God, should I go? Because I don't just go anywhere. I always ask, should I go? And he said, it's up to you. Now, that's the summary of the thing. He said, it's up to you. So I think I'll go. But generally, I don't want to. You just do things. Many people just do things. Now you want the preaching. How can you be asked if you should go and preach? Because you don't know anything. Me, I know. People get into trouble from going where they, you were not sent. How can you run when you are not sent? Don't go when you are not sent. I'm not saying there will be accidents. I don't think like that. I just don't like wasting my time. Ever. So, the truth is, if you know God says do something, sometimes you may go after he sent you and it's not nice. But at least you know he sent you. Like marriage, like any other thing. There may be sorrows, but you know he told you yes. But if he said no, and you went, you don't need to ask Lord why. I hope you get that. They went and God won on their behalf. Whether you are led straight into battle or not, you must be ordered in the way of battle. Can you hear that? Better be in ranks. Better be aligned with others. There's nothing like a one-man army. Rambo is a lie, as is Commando. It's a lie. Every one-man army, one man, only you, chang chung, chang chung, kang kang kang, killing 100 people, kicking them, and 100 people fall. It's a joke. Or that being is a demigod. It's not a real being. Is this clear? There is reality, spiritual reality. Be orderly. They were arrayed for battle. They marched in ranks. Different translation. They went forth in their ranks. A major source of protection when you are early in your walk with God. Now, early might be 20 years. Is keep company with others that are headed in your direction. Take notes. They better be headed in the direction you want to go. If you want to go in another direction, don't join that group. But match with a group. Don't be disorderly. Don't be unaccountable. Don't be floating in and out, just going where you want. Be orderly. And the Lord will give you victory. Amen. I promise I'll take some questions. So for 5 minutes or so, let's see if I can take any questions. Did anyone say any question? If there's any question, I'll answer a few and then we pray. What do you do when you have a weak conscience and feel guilty for every little sin you commit? And even some things which are not sin, but hurt others. If it hurts others, who tells you it's not a sin? If what you're doing hurts others, it must be a sin. This guilt lingers even after you confess to God. How do I strengthen my conscience? Let me tell you how God did it for me. In the book of 1 John, many years ago, 1990-something. Ooh, you have a tender conscience, which is a very good thing. Josiah had it and God was happy with him. Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And by this, we will know that we belong to the truth and will assure our hearts in his presence. Read, everyone.
Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things.
All right, so your conscience may condemn you. Your heart may condemn you. But he's telling you that God is greater. In other words, and I've thought on this at different times, that your conscience is not necessarily the voice of God. It's an inbuilt mechanism. In Romans chapter 2, your conscience is built into everybody, even non-Christians. Everybody has a conscience. It tells you this is wrong, this is right. It tells you, it accuses you when you do wrong. So your conscience is put there by God to, even if there's no word of God, the law, again, you can read in Romans 2, you know, your conscience accuses or defends you. It's the work of the law written in your heart. It's embedded, encoded by God into every human being. Nobody needs to tell you some things are wrong. So then some things are worse than some things. Your conscience will do that. This one is super bad. You can't do it too. You've done bad things, but this one crosses the line. Your conscience with any people that have never heard of Jesus since they're born. Every culture, conscience does. tells you some things. In the most wicked cultures, your conscience still talks a little. Some have killed it thoroughly. That's all. All right. Now, God is saying that God, he is greater. The scriptures is saying God is greater than your conscience. What does that mean? Sometimes your conscience is shaped by, your conscience can accuse you when you are right. Everyone that has been persecuted by an authority figure, from a parent to a teacher to a mentor can tell you, this has happened many times, I've heard of it, I've seen it, I know it. Or I could use two examples. One could be, oh, no, you must cover your hair with a head tie. If you don't cover it with a head tie, you're sinning. And some people are so torn up. They could be messed up in different ways. Oh, no, no, how can a girl wear trousers? So that's how your conscience has been shaped, because you believe that's what the Bible says. All right. And I agree, you should feel bad about anything the Bible says you shouldn't do. But if you're now shown from the Bible, see, God is greater than your conscience. So from, you now look at what God actually says. You say, ah, okay, he didn't mean this. He couldn't have meant this now. If you're convinced, then you can. No, I don't need this. This is not the covering for her. He's given her as a covering. No, no, it's not this. That's not what he meant. So I don't need to use it. Now your conscience can be at rest. That's an example of God being greater. Oh, no, he didn't mean trouser. He said something else. Again, you want to know about that in actual facts, please. Ask around and someone will send you a link to a message where I explained it. Those two things. As an example. So your conscience can be, should I say, wrong. It can be miseducated. It can be misled. Consciences are like things that are taught. There are some things in it. It knows naturally, like a baby knows how to suck milk. And then there are things that it is taught. When you keep showing it to do things a certain way, you show it how to, every time you come back, come and hug me. Every time, come and hug me. Every time, come and hug me. So your conscience can be trained to react to certain things. Or don't do that. When you say, bad boy, bad boy, bad boy does this. But, you know, so you see the child that wants to pick something that fell on the ground to eat. And then he picks it and says, Yeah, you've seen those guys. And you still suspect, if nobody was here, this guy. All right. So again, that's it. So how do you do? Child of God, this is what happened with me. I had a tender conscience like that. I still hope to have a tender conscience. But I realize that sometimes, long after, and I see with young Christians all the time, God has moved on and they are in one place. But my. And God is like, what is this? I thought we washed away this thing. What? Is he holding a white cloth and saying, why? In your mind, you still see the stains. God doesn't see those stains. It's only you that sees it. Do you understand this? Have I answered that question? What's happened to you is called self-righteousness. When God says he has forgiven you for something, stop talking about it. All right, so I'll give the final illustration. I've given it many times. This belongs to God. Okay, so this is God's property, and you saw it and you tore it. You tore it into pieces. And then see this girl. You talk. And she felt so bad. Now, I have to act her part because she won't be able to act it properly. And she, I'm sorry. Oh, God. Literally, oh, God. Let me see. He snaps it. That's the idea. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Look at that. He has separated. Then, this is the next morning. Oh, God. What is it? What happened again? What happened? God, what happened?
God, your paper.
It's okay. I'm not angry. It's okay. All things work together for good to those who love me. I grabbed it. In fact, it's been better. Now I typed it out and I stored it in cloud storage. Now I can't even lose it. You know, I almost... No. Bang, bang, bang. Everybody gather for lunch. Oh, yeah. All right, let's give thanks for this food. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this sister. Why are you not singing now? You want to understand. I'm the worst person at this table. I'm the worst. I don't know what. Now, again, I know God is not like me. Baby, it's me. I've knocked your head. By the time I put one finger in your head like this. But Christians do this all the time. Some can go on like this for weeks, so months, years. I know God has not forgiven me for. Wow, you are a suffer head. Wow. Now, after a while, you know it's not funny. It's for the younger ones that don't understand. Just after a while, you come and say, stop that nonsense. Stand up from there. What rubbish is this? Don't do it again. Get up from here. What are you talking about? You did what? Are you the first person that broke something? In fact, I'll punish you if you do it again. Now, you see, so many people, what they do is you create a new problem that is the real problem from the old. And I'm going to be honest. I've been in this journey for a while. The human heart is exceedingly wicked. Two things are happening here. One, the devil is standing and whispering to her constantly. You know you're very useless. You know that he has not forgiven you. You know, leave. Oh, you know, see, it's not easy. It's not, they'll not just forgive you like that. Is it easy like that? Is it a small problem you caused? Imagine all the people that are here before you. Nobody thought it. You came within 2 weeks. Only you. It's always you. Always. This is what you produce yourself. You see now you're bitter. You think now. This again, I don't have time, but many times you think the more you flog yourself and you're bleeding, the more God says, hey, yeah, it's okay, I really forgive you. God is wondering what you're doing. Why are you doing this? I don't like this at all. Stop it. Drop the topic. But we keep bringing it. Till a demon moves in with you. You have given a demon permission. Yes, it's demonic now. People have done these things, it's demonic. A demon now has a right in that area. You have opened a small house and given a demon to sit there, to walk around with you. That one will invite depression. It will invite its friends. It has a group of friends. Depression, self-loathing, many, many things. This is what many Christians struggle with. Then when they heard false grace, they swallowed it. This is why false grace is so popular. You don't know. Why it never attracted me is because this thing I'm explaining to you, God taught me in the 90s. This passage I read to you, God showed me this personally, me praying before God on my own. You know, 1997 or 8, probably on my knees somewhere, and God, and I'm talking to God, and he shows me, he says, listen to me. I am greater than your heart. That is that condemnation your heart is doing. I'm more powerful than your heart. Your heart is, all these things I'm explaining as it is very simple. I learned it 20-something years ago from the Lord himself. So I haven't walked around my life, even when I erred, I don't walk around with. So when people heard false grace, nothing you do matters. God is what, I'm like, no, it absolutely matters. That doesn't confuse me with being forgiven. I know I am forgiven. You don't have to mix it up. You can be forgiven, but still held accountable. You don't know that. Come here. Did you touch that thing again after I said, give me your hand. Sorry, the dogs. 1, 2, 3. Mind yourself. Go and eat. In our mind, there's no go and eat. Once it's flogging, it's hatred. The earth has scattered. If he endured with me, would he have flogged me? Yeah, the world is evil. You see, I said it. I said nobody can love you. I said it's not your type. You're unlovable. You have chosen to believe demons. So the number one way I know people overcome this, know the scriptures. Keep company with righteous people. Don't keep company with people that say there's nothing you do that matters. Me, I can't lie to you. It matters. But it doesn't matter as much as you think. to say that, no, daddy doesn't mind. After you've torn it, daddy comes, say, what is it? Say, daddy, 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 daddy. You deserve a knock. So that's what some people do. They say, no, it doesn't matter the blood. You have to tell whose blood. Be careful, it's not yours. Because God cares. Like, oh, you have not read about resisting sin to the shedding of blood? Whose blood do you think it was? Is it my own? It's your blood. That's Hebrews 12 verse 4. It's in your Bible. So you must resist wrongdoing. Next time you're tempted to tear that thing, don't tear it again. The truth is, you may tear 150 more times. Let me just be honest. Again, don't be angry with me, the religious crowd. You may go on to tear it a few more times. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Is that okay? He will forgive you. It doesn't mean he will never spank you. One day he might spank you. One day. 2 months later. Or 2 years later. Some of his children, he knows they are very dull. All that is in God's hands. I speak frankly, but I speak under pressure because of time. Wish I could explain better. But talk to older people here. They'll explain it to you a bit better. Yes, quickly, because I promised. Who is with the mic? Yes. Ask. Just ask.
Good evening, everyone.
Eh?
Sorry.
Ask the question.
Okay. I wanted to ask, peradventure, God already showed you where you should be. Like, after my youth service, I wanted to go to Lagos to work, but he said I should bring IK, and he automatically worked a place for me. Someone just called me out of the blues, and I got to work in IK. And I faced, I was praying daily, more like an intercession for the place. I experienced a lot of warfare. But the thing is, I left IK because I didn't know there were arrows. At some point, I felt threatened. The spirit of...
Okay, this your question sounds like something you're going to see with a pastoral staff. That. It sounds too personal. Okay. It's not a Bible question. It's a specific question. So it will be answered. Just someone will take your number. Give her.
Okay.
Have I answered it already?
What do you do when you want to, like... Can you... Yeah. Oh, sorry. What do you do when you want to start a business or like make money? And every time previously that you've done a business or something, you've always felt sinful that you are making money. And then now it's like, okay, I want to do this thing. I don't know if God wants me to do this thing, but I want to do this thing. So should I pray that God allows me to do this thing?
I would ask God. I just gave you an example of how I live. I ask God, do you want it? And if he seems to give it, go ahead. You go ahead with it. Because like I said, you may face challenges on the way of even doing something he wants. But your confidence will be, at least I have God. God has my back. But if you're not sure God has your back, sorry for you. Now, God may even have your back, but you don't know. Then you're going to feel, oh, this is happening to me because I went out without God's permission. It's better to be a bit more sure. I spend most of my life trying to be sure. Read this book by Kenneth Hagin, Following God's Plan for Your Life. It's a very good book. Following God's Plan for Your Life and Plans, Purposes, Pursuits. There are two books. I'm sure someone around here can help you. Ask, get a phone number, and someone can share their copy with you. All right? It will help you exceedingly. God's not angry with you if you make some money from doing business. If your motivation is not greed, if it's to meet need. But if your motivation is greed, you have more than enough and then you're just greedy. Maybe you shouldn't do anything. You should just go to school or work or serve others. Amen. Lift your hands right where you're seated. Father, I'm asking for everyone in this place that you give them grace to go and live out the things we have said.
Amen.
Empower them and give them speed.
Amen.
I ask you, Father, that you help us to know that we are in battle and that we will win if you are on our side.
Amen.
I ask that you forgive us for all the times we have tried to fight without your support.
Amen.
Let your will be done in us. Let your kingdom come.
Amen.
I ask, Father God, that you open your children's eyes to see the battle and also how to win.
Amen.
Forgive us for doubting you.
Amen.
We know we will win if we keep trusting you, because God never fails. Bless everyone.
Amen.
I ask that every offering that will be given, that you receive it and use it for your glory.
Amen.
I ask that you help the practicals that we will experience of what has been said be easy. Father, I ask for explanations by your spirit. Let these ones learn the practicals and come back with flying colors.
Amen.
Give them support and help us fight together.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at God's-lighthouse.org.